Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard. Not the billiards. It was...
Billiards room.
Come on already. Come on. We call it the...
The place to be.
The place to be. Yes, the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said.
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Fuck you, Daddy.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, and we are joining you on this special edition of the podcast here on a Monday night. With me, as always, is my PIC, Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
JR, it's always a pleasure, and we're actually, I feel like we're kicking it old school.
Mm-hmm.
We used to record our earlier casts on Monday nights during Raw, but this is the beginning of maybe... the busiest week in the history of the Place to Be Podcast. We are like powering our way through a myriad of things this week. This is episode 141. We got a lot to go on the rest of the week. But tonight is a very special episode. And that is because, JR, we have our first encore performance. The first time someone has come back a second time.
And unfortunately, it's probably the least favorite of our people to come back on.
Well, maybe that's what you think.
Oh, okay. All right.
Anyway.
All right. Well, of course, joining us. Yeah. So, of course, joining us is my longtime friend, MWF superstar, John Walters, also known, of course, as RJ Brewer from Lucha Libre USA. John, how you doing?
Hi, guys. Always my dream to be on episode 141. I'm really excited.
Well, we had this carved out for you for like a year and a half. So,
yes.
It's awesome.
This is your really number. Good. Now, MWF birthday bash is coming up in September. Are you excited about that?
I don't know anything about it, really. I'm down in Florida. I'm not coming up to Massachusetts for a while, so. I'm pretty much just doing Lucha Libre USA shows now. I'm not really doing too many independent shows. Here and there, I'll throw one in, but, things have really taken off with that part of the wrestling career, so I just kind of want to, stick to my investment and stick with the promotion that I'm really getting a lot of press and want to kind of protect that.
All right, well, now take us back, because when we talked to you early last year, you had just received the offer and signed the contract, and we're waiting for details, and a lot's gone down. Now, last year, Scott and I chronicled every episode of Lucha Libre on our show. We followed you closely, of course. So, tell us the evolution of the program, how things went in season one, how your character developed, and what you're looking forward to now.
Season one was not very successful. I think the company had big aspirations real early, which isn't a bad thing, but I also think that they were under the impression that they could go to different cities and film their TV and have consistency, which just wasn't the case. WWE can do that stuff because they've been around forever. They have these huge production trucks that go on the road with them. But we were a small, we had a good buzz behind us, filming shows for MTV2, but we didn't have the production value that they thought we were going to have, and they found that it was so hard to go on the road and have consistency. So season one, was seven episodes, and the feedback was okay. I mean, most of the wrestling critics thought the show was cool, but the production wasn't good, and that was the main feedback. So for season two, they went on to find a steady location where they could have the same sound guys, same production guys, and the production is night and day from season two. And you'll see, starting this Wednesday, all 13 episodes will be online on Hulu starting this Wednesday, for 13 straight weeks, and you'll see the production difference. It's night and day.
Now, are they looking to land a TV deal still where they could maybe air these episodes, or is Hulu pretty much their main outlet at this point, and they're not really looking to move on past that?
No, I don't get too much information out of them. I try to pry stuff out of them, but they're not really giving when it comes to information like that. But their goal is definitely to be on TV. That's what they want. And they do have some negotiations apparently and some talks with some other major networks, but MTV2 wasn't definitely wasn't somewhere where wrestling should be anyways. You could just tell
right.
when they launched the program. You could tell when they launched the program, MTV2 wasn't, it almost like they were setting them up to fail. You had the Wayans brothers on for like 9 hours in a row, and Lucha Libre USA didn't even have a commercial or a replay or anything like that. So
right.
how is anybody going right. to follow it?
And even the time slot. I mean, it was almost like a throwback Saturday mornings, but it was still a tough time unless you're DVRing it and watching it.
Right.
And, just not a lot of publicity, like you said.
Yeah, what you got to understand too is the Latino communities. Latinos are the ones who are watching our show, and they're the main demographic that they're reaching out to. And most of them are on the West Coast. So 10 a.m. on the East Coast, yeah, that's great. But what about at 7 a.m. back home?
Right.
And back on the West Coast, where most of these people are watching. And I know the second time, four shows into season two, it was Lucha Libre USA's decision to pull the plug from that company, and they had way too much money invested, and they didn't want to put it onto a time slot where nobody was watching it. So, what happens from a TV deal from now on, I'm not so sure, but the whole season two will be shown starting this Wednesday and every week thereafter.
Now, John, before we continue, I just want to say that any time on Raw that we're all talking into our in our Place to Be podcast chat room, anytime Cena Sr. throws out Kowloons, we pay homage to you because nothing was better than sitting around the table watching Slick Wagner Brown cut promos waiting for his Kung Pao chicken. It's probably better than that.
I haven't talked to Cena Sr. in a long time. I haven't worked a lot of shows up in Massachusetts. I've been down in Florida pretty much all year round, so I don't see him too often, but... Yeah, he's always a character. It's funny to see him on TV sometimes, too.
No, that was great, that Raw. I was at Live when he showed up, and he name-dropped Cena's, his son name-dropped Kowloons, and I popped big time inside
yes.
the Boston Garden there.
Tremendous.
I did hear about that, yeah.
So the roster, while Justin and I were chronicling the show and going over it, we were really starting to dig the roster. At the time, you guys, there had to have been some momentum in that aspect, because you had... obviously they had you as RJ Brewer, and then Helms came in, and you had all the growing heels that were building. You had the tournaments involving the titles. It was growing. The roster was really like taking off. Yeah, like the Charlie Malice with the crazy mask, and then Petey Williams came in the picture, and then of course Lismark. What it must have been really tough, because at the time the roster really seemed to start to blossom and feuds were starting to build. It must have been tough realizing what was going on from a television perspective, while the actual product, at least Justin and I thought, was really starting to pick up.
Yeah, definitely. The roster was definitely unique, and it was a nice blend. It was mainly Mexican masked wrestlers, and that's what the fans want to see. If you're promoting a Lucha Libre show, they want to see masked wrestlers, and they want them authentic. They want them from Mexico, so obviously that's the kind of people that are going to draw the Latino fans in. But you got to put something in there for the casual fan too. And I think the stable that I built along with Jindrak and Helms had their little stable. And, it was a nice variety for sure. A lot of cool costumes. And when if you're not a wrestling fan, you're flipping through and you see these guys in these cool costumes and masks doing flips, you're going to want to stop and watch. And even if it piques somebody's interest for a few seconds and drags them in, that might be all it takes to get a new viewer. The first four episodes, I think for season two, four episodes is all that was shown. Those will start, the next 4 weeks, those will be on. And then all, nine other episodes will be on. So it'll be 13 straight weeks. And we've already filmed some of season three, too, so I'm not quite sure if that'll be on Hulu, too, or what's going on. But I know for sure this contract is with with Hulu for 13 straight weeks.
Now, I'll give you a positive and a negative of this promotion that I noticed. The positive is that I loved how interactive they were. I liked the Facebook chats and the Twitter stuff, and they were really out there, really promoting and having you guys be part of it, which is cool. I love that chat we did with you, and I was trying my best to bust your balls as much as possible. But, that was cool. I like that stuff. I think that's what these smaller promotions need to do to try and distance themselves and make themselves stand out, be more
right.
interactive, and really talk to the fans and make them part of the show. The only thing that bugged me, honestly, was the audio of the program. I felt like they drowned the crowd way down. And the commentators almost seems like, I know it's Kevin Kelly, and then I know our buddy Stevie Richards gets involved in this season. But, it almost sounded like they were just sitting in a room, like a soundproof booth, and then you could barely hear the crowd. And I hope that gets fixed for season two, because that was one thing that bugged me when I was watching it.
I agree. It sounded like a voiceover, and I don't know what the reason for that is. And I'd like to think that after the first few episodes of the second season, they do fix it, but obviously it hasn't been on TV, so I don't know for sure. But yeah, I mean, the crowd interaction, it's funny because there in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we filmed all these TV shows. The crowd was so hot and so wild, and then it doesn't translate like that on TV, and that sucks because you think, well, do these people that weren't there live don't even know if the fans give a shit? And
right.
They do, and it's, you know, there's got to be a better way to translate that onto TV, but that's not my department. You know.
Now, how much influence do you have over your character and the gimmicks? Like, I thought and I know Scott loved it too, the whole thing where you collect the masks and you had the little shrine. Mm. Oh,
yeah,
all the masks
awesome.
In there. You know, we love that. That was some great heel stuff. So is that all you, or do you have someone that's collaborating with you, or how much leeway do you have?
If you ask a lot of pro wrestlers, I'm sure if you ask, like, Steve Austin and The Rock and even CM Punk, if you ask them why they're so successful, it's probably because they let them be themselves. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And RJ Brewer is me. I mean, that's who I am. You know, obviously it's turned up a whole hell of a lot for TV, and it's...
I can vouch it's not turned up that much.
You know, it works for me because, I mean, I'm an asshole. I'm a prick, and I know I am.
Mm-hmm.
But am I racist towards Mexicans? No, and RJ Brewer isn't racist. It's just, you know, there's a problem on the border. The border states need to be secured, and then not secured. And then my mission is to collect the masks and send the people home that don't belong there, you know, and it's not so far-fetched from my real political beliefs. So most of what you see is just me being myself. Obviously, you know, the writer helps me script certain things, and they have feedback because I, you know, I'm not bigger than the company. I gotta do what I'm told, but my promos, what you see is pretty much me. You know, I don't say things, words don't come out of my mouth unless I mean them, and that's why it's been so effective, and the press I've gotten has been so huge, because it's believable because it's real.
Now, how much leeway does Andy Hawaiian Punch have in his characters?
He was a camera hog, you know him.
Yes, he was. All right, so what's left, John, on your bucket list here of wrestling? You know, it's like Lucha Libre's taking off. You're getting some national exposure finally. Are there any guys you really are looking forward to maybe wrestling one day down the line before you finally hang up the tights?
That's a tough question. I don't really know. You know, I'm content doing what I'm doing now. And, you know, my contract ended in May, and I was considering, I said, what am I going to do? I had brief talks with WWE. They were real brief, but Lucha Libre USA, you know, made me an offer, and I stayed with them, and I am somebody there, and myself, you know, mm-hmm. and it really helps when you can go out there and be yourself. Am I going to make the kind of money? Am I going to make the kind of money that guys like Cena and Punk and Orton and those guys make? No, hell no. But I'm probably going to make more than developmental guys are making right now. And not to say that I don't want to make, you know, a ton of money in wrestling, but I don't have a really extravagant lifestyle. If I have $1 million in the bank, or if I have $10 million, it's not going to make much of a difference. I don't need boats and fancy cars and jets. I'm going to stay the same, you know. So. Mm-hmm. I don't need to go to WWE and make all this money because I want to be a superstar. For me, it's about being myself and going out there and having fun, and I'm doing that right now. I'm not saying I wouldn't over there, but why not give this a little more time to develop and see what happens? So that's what I'm doing now. I don't really have a bucket list in wrestling. If I walked away tomorrow, I'd probably be happy with what I've done. If I wrestle for another 10 years, as long as I'm happy and healthy, I don't have really too many goals. I think I've accomplished what I wanted.
John, talk a little bit about the tour that you did that went on in March and in April. You kind of guys went through Nevada and some mm-hmm. dates in LA and then through Texas. So what was that experience like with these guys in front of a live arena audience?
Well, yeah, we were we traveled March, April, and May. We did about 11 different cities, and it was busy because, you know, people, you say, well, 11 cities in 12 weeks isn't a lot, but I was doing press for all these shows too, so I was flying out a month before them doing press. You know, I went to there was one week where I was in 7 different cities in like 8 days.
Wow.
doing press conferences and appearances and media stuff, and it all worked because people knew who I was when they announced my name at the beginning of the show that I was going to be in the main event. People were booing. They knew, they saw the radio, they saw the newspaper, they saw the article in the LA Times they had, And the Latino community knows who I am, and that makes my job so much easier when I walk out there. They already know who I am and what I stand for. So, you know, part of the thing you're taught in wrestling school is let the fans know who you are. Well, I don't have to. So that step is done. I've already done it from the press I've gotten. So the shows were good. I mean, we had our lowest draw was probably like 1,200 or 1,500 people. So we had in San Jose, California, we drew over 5,000. I mean, that's bigger than TNA house shows. You know, we were actually doing really well. You look at WWE, even they have some house shows back in the day. Shane Helms was telling me where they barely drew that for house shows. And this is a 2-year-old company, and a lot of times they get discouraged when there's only 1,000 people there, 1,500, so you can't get discouraged. You guys are only 2 years old, and it just shows you how big the Spanish market is, and that they liked wrestling. So the shows were good. It was just successful because of the press opportunities they had, and the marketing seemed to work, and the crowds were really into it, and they were fun. So yeah, we went to Dallas, Houston. We were in Phoenix, which was unbelievable, and then, you know, a bunch of California, and we were in Reno, Nevada. But Phoenix was just unbelievable, the crowd reaction, because obviously that's where I'm from, and that's where the immigration stuff is from. So it was pretty intense.
It's good to see them, you know, sending. Sorry, Scott, but it's good to see them sending you out and doing that kind of press and really getting out there, because there's so many indie shows around that you don't even know they're happening half the time because the guys just don't get out and promote them and send guys around. You know, Ring of Honor is actually coming here in August, and they've been pretty good about it. Their first time coming to Rhode Island, I see commercials all the time, like on CW and stuff. So, you know, they've been good about it. But a lot of indie shows, I don't even know they're happening half the time because there's no press. So it's cool to see Lucha Libre, you know, taking the time and the money to send you out ahead of time and doing a lot of press.
Yeah, too many indie promoters rely on the internet. They want to put a blog up in some message board where it's 95% wrestlers anyways, and they think they're going to draw fans, and then when there's 80 people there, they wonder why. Well, you got to go out there and poster. How about, like, postering at schools or putting a commercial on somewhere or sending a wrestler to a middle school or something to speak for a day? You know, you got to do that kind of stuff.
Right.
But it's laziness, I think. And, you know, Lucha Libre USA, the managers or the owners, they're not lazy. They go out there, they could run these small arenas, but they're running these big stadiums because perception's everything. And if you hear, hey, there's 5,000 people at the HP Pavilion, we outdrew Strikeforce MMA. You know, that Strikeforce ran in the HP Pavilion like a couple months after, and we outdrew them. So there you go. You know, the Latino market's big, and I think when you give them something that's good, they're going to want to see it.
Now, John, when you were in Phoenix, did you get some nice reverse face/heel heat where you're getting, like, pops from the crowd who are in favor of the law, and, you know, were you getting like a good, you know, kind of activity from both sides, boos, cheers? Were you getting like a kind of unique pop when you were down there?
Yeah, it was probably about 2,000 people there, and I think there might have been 4 people cheering for me. And I was, it was pretty partisan. It was pretty nuts. I mean, I walked out and I did my, I cut a promo before the match, and I couldn't even hear myself think. I was talking about my mother, and I was talking about, I even threatened the president, and I got yelled at for that. But, you know, I just basically, hey, this is where it's from. This is what needs to happen, and I'm here to change things. And yeah, I mean, you know, the fans are still respectful, even when they're booing, which I like. You know, no one's taken it too far yet, but Arizona's pretty intense. It's definitely the biggest reaction I got.
Have you felt threatened at all, or nothing beyond just the general wrestling heel stuff?
No, I've never one time felt uncomfortable. Obviously, I don't walk around outside the arena by myself, and I do, you know, security's told before my match that, hey, you got to be careful on this thing, but sometimes $12 an hour security guards aren't going to give a shit if I'm getting trampled. So, no, it is awareness there, but I've never one time felt threatened or insecure, because in the end, these fans are there to be entertained, even if it's something like immigration that hits home, they still want to be entertained regardless. And they, you know, a lot of them know, you know, if you're a pro wrestler and you're on TV and, you know, you're in the ring, people still look up to you, even if it's something they don't like. It's kind of strange. It's kind of a strange, strange scenario, but no, so far so good.
Anyone in particular, Lucha Libre, that you've been impressed by working with? Anyone you didn't expect to have, you know, either chemistry or anything with, but you've really enjoyed working?
Well, Blue Demon Jr. and I pretty much wrestled every single show of the tour. I know at first I was supposed to have a different opponent for all the cities, but we had done an appearance on Good Morning America on the Spanish network, and then also one of the game shows on the Spanish network, and the feedback was so good that they just decided to pair us up for the whole tour, except for one show that he wasn't there. So you know, every show, every match we did got better, and the crowd reaction got better. And, you know, he's a guy who's a legend in Mexico. He's been on soap operas and movies and Dancing with the Stars, Mexico. So he's been all over the place. So when he walks out, people know. And then you got the exact opposite in me, who doesn't care about their tradition of their culture. So it's a clash, and the heat is just automatically there. So those were good, been good. But, you know, everyone there brings something different to the table. Magno and I had a brief little rivalry in season one, and then we wrestled a couple times too. And, you know, he's a high flyer, and he's really good. So yeah, there's a bunch. There's nobody I don't like wrestling.
Now, I know on here on the website, it says Tatanka's Halls. Is he season two, or was he? I don't think I've ever seen him season one.
Tatanka came in and did a match, but it was a dark match. It wasn't for TV. And then I think they used him in a skit or something that was on TV.
That's right. I remember the skit now. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it wasn't a TV match.
They got to bring him in. Tatanka's ratings, man.
Yeah, Tatanka's great. I wrestled with him up in Massachusetts. I did a match against him. It was about 30 minutes, and he can go. He can still go. He's cool.
And, well, I tell you, I demand a title shot. I demand you get a title shot this time around.
He's champion.
Me? Well, actually, tomorrow, season one, we opens up with a four-way for the title, so I'm involved in that.
Did I just blow the spoilers out of the water? I think so.
No, I don't remember what happened, because we filmed it 20 years ago. But
All right, just watch
and see.
Oh, God.
Hey, this is tricky, because some of this has been filmed, some has aired, some hasn't, so we're just trying not to blow things. But
Your
other guy in your stable, besides Petey Williams, John Recon, what does that dude eat to get to be that size? Can you tell me that?
Recon, and I don't know if you're familiar with him before we got into wrestling, but he was a power lifter. He did strongman competition. He's only been wrestling, I think, like 6 years, 7 years maybe. And I think he's already 40. So he started late. He started when he was in his early 30s. But the guy's just a monster. I room with him on the road, and just wake up at 3 a.m. hearing the guy eat steak and eggs and stuff. And he's like a bear. He just eats shits and works out, and that's it. It's unbelievable.
He's massive.
Yeah, he's massive. He's like my height. He's like 6 feet, and he's got like 100 pounds on him. He's just insane.
Wow.
And he's got a better six pack than me, so that tells you how ripped he is, you know. And he's enormous, but he's cool. I mean, you know, as my bodyguard, it's neat, you know, having this guy come out and stand next to me. And anybody fucks with me, that's what they got to answer to, and it's cool. You know, he was the bodyguard for my mom when she was, you know, she was campaigning for governor, and then she saw the injustices that were happening to me, so she sent him there to take care of me, and it's a cool story. But yeah, the guy's a monster. I think he eats like 5 pounds of beef a day.
Jeez.
He eats beef like Rubino eats cake and ice cream.
We were in Albuquerque after a show at the restaurant, and he had 2 16-ounce prime ribs. With vegetables and salad, and then he ordered another prime rib, and
wow,
they ran out, and I was like, you should have seen his face. It looked like somebody just kicked his dog. He was so sad that they had no more steak, and I had to be the voice of reason. I'm like, John, just get a ribeye or something. Oh, okay, brother, get a ribeye. You know, it's just you could see the waiter walking over, being so scared to tell him.
We're out of prime ribs, sir.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of reaction at all from the Arizona governor's office, or are they aware of what's going on?
When I was out in Stockton, California, a reporter had interviewed me, and he said we reached out to Jan Brewer's office, and their exact response was, yes, we know who he is. We've never commented before. We're not going to start now. So they refused to comment on it, which I think no comment is sometimes just as good as any.
Yeah.
And that's been pretty much the constant response from them, is that they know who I am. They're just not going to comment.
It's almost like they're working in cahoots with you, because they're not shooting it down, you know. So,
well, you know, my mother loves me, and she's not going to say anything bad, so she'd rather just not say anything at all.
Wow. Well, yeah, I tell you, John, we're looking forward to it, because Justin and I really got excited those episodes. And again, on Hulu fans, the first 4 episodes that we went over will be on there, and
sure.
and then the ensuing, what is it, John, 9 or 10 after that
there's 13 episodes total in season two, so starting tomorrow, this Wednesday, for 13 straight weeks, every Wednesday it'll be out, culminating in the very last show. And you know, like I said, hulu.com is free, so anybody can afford it. No excuse not to.
John, have you been following any other wrestling during this time? Anything WWE or TNA or Ring of Honor?
WWE, I'll watch once in a while. If it's DVR'd, I'll check it out. TNA, I don't think I've watched a full episode in 8 years. I don't know. From what I understand, it's gotten better. I don't know. I don't really have a reason. It's wrestling. It's on TV, and I'm home a lot. I just don't turn it on. So many people try to get the response out of me. Well, do you hate wrestling? No, I don't. Then why don't you ever watch it on TV? I don't know. I have no reason. I'm not bitter. I don't want to not watch it. It's not that I don't care. I don't know. I don't really know. I don't even watch my stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe I've got other priorities and I just...
Well, what do you watch, John?
On TV, not much, to be honest with you. This is the new, new fist-pumping Bieber society we live in. Just, I don't know, it makes me want to gag anytime I even turn the TV on, so I don't watch too much. But, I watch the news, I watch CNN, I watch Law & Order a lot. My roommate turned me on to Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That's a pretty funny show.
Mm-hmm.
I'll flip through and I'll watch stuff, but just like those reality shows, like on True TV, those are just, it's like Operation Rebo, some culling show. I mean, they're passing it on as it's real, and it's so fake.
Right.
I'm like, well, come
on.
Yeah,
don't
you
know wrestling's fake, John? Wrestling's the only fake thing in the world. Everything else.
No, wrestling is the only thing that admits that they're entertainment, and everything else is, says it's real. And,
yeah.
But no, I don't watch too much wrestling on TV. I don't know. I can't give you a reason why.
Football, though, right? Still a big football fan?
Oh, yeah, football. I watched the Celtics play. I watched the Miami Heat be given the titles by the NBA.
The only reason I didn't mind them beating the Celtics was because we got to watch Eddie Edwards cry every week on Twitter after every game and be all upset.
Yeah, well, the Celtics put a better fight than Oklahoma City did.
That's true.
But, I went to game 6 where they got destroyed, and it was so depressing. Just was very bad. Very bad bad show to decide to go to. But, yeah, I still watch sports. I'm normal.
You know what? I think we might have lost John. His connection was shaky.
Yeah, his connection was shaky anyway. But we are looking forward to Lucha Libre USA coming back. JR, that was one of our more fun segments.
Well, let's see. I might be able to get. I'm gonna try and get it back. Oh, yeah, back. You're gonna say right now. That's it. You're putting a bow on it. Let's see if we get John back here.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
All right. Well, we'll try him back in a minute. He might have hit a dead spot. So, watching Raw right now. Scott and I were gonna take a few moments to give our Money in the Bank preview and talk about some of the goings on. Scott, why don't you pull up the card and we'll try and do our picks as well. And then also big tonight is our first PTB Trivia Tournament match is coming after we finish talking to John and talk a little bit about the current day happening since we've been ignoring them, doing our vaults and whatnot. All right, let's try and get him back here again.
Because it's supposed to be my friend and you hung up on me.
You're supposed to be a multi-million dollar superstar and you can't get a cell phone plan that just keeps a conversation going for 25 minutes.
You know what? I'm walking outside my pool and I went over by the palm tree and I lost service. That's what it was.
Okay, was John one of John Senior's workers cleaning your pool for you?
Yeah, no, this is my real pool. This is my real house here, yeah.
So what else, John? What else do you want to talk about as far as Lucha Libre? What should we look out for? What should we, give us a pitch here why we should watch this show.
The constant complaint I always hear from people is that pro wrestling on TV is horrible. And maybe people will watch this and not like it, but it's an alternative and it's just something it's going to be different, that's for sure. So why not? You got everybody, all these wrestling fans have an extra hour a week to watch this and... Yeah, I just think it's going to be a good show, and obviously I'm saying that because I'm biased and I'm in it, but I just think everyone should check it out because, you watch some WWE shows and TNA shows and people just, their minds start spinning as to why this is happening on TV or why this person's on TV. Well, give something else a try. If you don't like it, don't watch it, but you should. And the RJ Brewer character really developed all the way to the last show and is still developing now, even though we're off TV, which is ironic because, my character was made for a TV show, and even when the TV show ended, I was getting bigger. My press and my profile was getting bigger, mm-hmm. not being on TV. So that says a lot.
It's almost like the old territories.
And, it's like... Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And Nightline, I did an interview with Nightline, which is on, you know, every Monday through Friday, and that's, I think, 3 to 5 million people a night watch that, and that should be coming out soon also. They did a story on me. It'll be a 6-8 minute segment. Not sure when that's coming out.
Yeah, let me know when you know, because we'll plug it on the show here and on the Facebook page.
Yeah, and, you know, that's mainstream publicity. I mean, you know, I was on CNN and Fox and front page of newspapers, and that's good publicity for wrestle without killing somebody or overdosing. You know,
yes,
that's a pretty good thing to accomplish. So hopefully it translates to sales and tickets and ratings when we go back on TV and we start touring again.
Anytime you can be on one of those shows and not have Steve Black and Mark Mero on with you ranting and raving, I think it's a good thing.
Yes.
I don't want Mark Mero ranting about my life and what I did wrong, because that's the true sign that you didn't make it, when Mark Mero's on the TV.
All right, John, let me ask you this before we wrap up. You know, you're a guy who, you know, we know, clean, lives clean, works out. Not a huge guy, but you get it done in the ring, ripped, good shape. And you look around the landscape of the guys currently on the top of these major promotions. You have CM Punk, similar body look to you. Daniel Bryan, a little smaller than you, but similar style, similar look. Both in the, you know, world title picture. Now, TNA, Austin Aries just won their world title last night.
Right.
Is this something that makes you proud, kind of, that these are similar guys to your style, and these are the guys that are ascending to the top of the promotion? And in a way, you're really the face and top guy in Lucha Libre USA, another mainstream promotion. So is that something you're kind of proud of, that you've almost outlasted the bigger guys, and your style is what's really becoming the in thing in wrestling?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm definitely proud of it, but I also think that anybody who started off on the indie level and worked their way up should be proud. You know, guys like Punk and Danielson, I've known those guys for a long time, and those guys didn't take shortcuts. Danielson used to fly himself out to England for months at a time to learn and train. And Punk, same thing. Punk was all over the world touring beforehand too, and I get along great with both those guys. And it's cool. It's good to see that WWE's putting some stock in them, and from what I understand, they're delivering and they're doing well. As long as the ratings keep up, and you know, 1 week of bad ratings doesn't freak people out. But I guess Punk's been the champ for a while now, so obviously it's going well. It's going well for him, and I think it's cool. It's definitely good. The problem with, you know, the thing with a lot of guys, you know, Punk and Danielson, if those guys got released by WWE ever, they'd instantly, even before they got these title runs, they would get back on the indies and make money because of who they were before. A lot of these guys who get signed by WWE and don't have a background in wrestling, once they, you know, they get signed for a year or something, get released, they're not going to really draw anything on the independent scene, and therefore they're probably not going to make a lot of money. So even though a lot of times doing the indie route isn't the most successful and the most, you know, it's not the most successful way to do things, a lot of times it's safer that way, because you're definitely getting, you have something to fall back on when you get released, and you know how to work, and that's, a lot of indie fans want to see that.
And I think another good thing for the indie scene is Triple H's ascension to power in the WWE, because right now he's in full charge of developmental, and he's rating the indies right now for top talent, because he's trying to restock. He knows where the future is right now. Sarah Del Rey, the top women's wrestler in the indie scene, just signed a contract. Pac just signed. I don't know much about him, but I guess he's supposed to be pretty well known.
I know him. I've seen him a few times. You know, actually, no, I wrestled him once. I wrestled him in England in a three-way. Yeah, he's a high flyer. He's very short, but he's in great shape. He's muscular, but he's, you know, very short, maybe 5'5" or something. But the kid flies around like crazy. So what I understand is, I heard a time back they were going to do a cruiserweight show, so that might be one of the reasons they're picking up some different indie guys. But I know they had an indie tryout down in Florida like about a month ago, and they're starting to look at wrestlers again. That's always good.
And even, you know, the indie, not indie rather, but their developmental show down there, the FCW show, you know, they got Dusty Rhodes is on there, and Jim Ross and William Regal are heavily involved. So it definitely seems like Triple H is really trying to shape and mold the developmental scene in WWE. So I think it's a good thing. We talked about this last time you were on, that we all think he's going to be good for that business long term. And I think Vince McMahon, as great as he has been for wrestling, you know, he's clearly on the back nine of his career as far as running the promotion. So, I think once Triple H is in charge fully, I think there are going to be more old school wrestling fans that'll be pleased with the product more than there are now.
Well, pro wrestling is a variety show. If you have all of these small indie guys, it's not going to be good. But if you have all these monsters on there, it's not going to be good either. And that's what they had for the longest time. So I think you need your women, you need your freak shows, you need your technical wrestlers, you need your pretty boys, you need your ugly guys, you need everything. And for the longest time, that was lacking. So hopefully they can, you know, look into the indies and pick up guys who are experienced and probably only need a couple months of freshening up to be put on TV, and they can make money off them.
John, also, since we last spoke, the great Randy Savage passed away. Any quick thoughts about his career and life before we go?
Yeah, you know, I never met the guy before. He's one of those guys, you know, he was a true superstar. He was larger than life. You look at guys like Hogan and Randy Savage and guys from that era. Non-wrestling fans knew who Randy Savage was, same as Hulk Hogan. So, you know, that was sad to hear, but, you know, when you hear, oh, it's so surprising, it's not surprising. I mean, you know, unfortunately, when pro wrestlers die, it's not surprising anymore, no matter how old you are. That's kind of a shame. And, you know, you like to think that wrestling is getting cleaner, but in the end, there's still a lot of demons, there's still a lot of issues there. And I don't even know. I guess he had a heart attack and then died in the car. Is that final? Is that what they said?
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yep.
You know, and I'm doubting it was a heart condition. It might have had something to do with you know, recreational use in the past. Who knows? But he made his mark in wrestling, and you know, it was. It's always sad to hear guys when they pass away, but not surprising anymore. But yeah, he was definitely. I was a big fan growing up as a kid, and it's tragic to hear that kind of stuff. It's never good.
Do you think he's the best ever?
Savage.
Yeah, North American. You know, we're not up on the Japanese or Mexican scene, but as far as
I think
U.S. promotions,
in terms of character, I think he's definitely up there. And even wrestling, he delivered in the ring too.
Yeah.
You know, his match with Steamboat, his match with Flair, you know, his match with Hogan, those were all classics. And he sucked the fans in with his promos, and then just the way he looked and the way he dressed and the way he talked, and then through his wrestling. So I don't know if, you know, to say top wrestler, you know, that's so subjective. Who really knows what the top wrestler is? In the end, I guess it's whoever makes the most money, but he's up there, definitely. He's definitely one of the all-time greats. And I never met the guy, which is a shame, but I'm sure, from what I understand, people who knew him said he was a good guy.
I just think it's too bad. I'm sorry, Scott. I just think it's too bad that he won't be alive to be inducted to the Hall of Fame. We won't get to see him one last time on that stage, get the ovation he deserved, and you know, speak to everyone. So,
I agree.
Yeah, there's always this ongoing dispute as to why he was never involved in it, and you know, you hear all these rumors, but who really knows the truth? You know.
Yep.
Rumors in wrestling are like flies down in Florida.
In the long scope of things, when we look ahead, say 15, 20 years, and looking back, where do you think, as an observer and a wrestler in the indie circuit, watching guys go up the ladder over the last, you know, 10, 11 years, where do you think John Cena will rank in the whole scope of the business? Maybe in terms of in-ring, promos, in terms of an ambassador, where do you think he'll rank all time when all is said and done, when he's finished?
Well, I mean, he's been the face of WWE for what, the past, I don't even know, 10 years? Has it been that long? Maybe?
Well, he's been
seven years, I guess.
Main guy for about 7 to 8. But, I mean, he's honestly passed right now Austin's run on top. Not saying he's better or, you know, better than these guys, but his run on top has, like, doubled Austin, and he's pretty much reached Hogan's initial run as well, so.
Right. I mean, you know, he gets criticized by, especially, you know, like the smart fans that, like, oh, he can't wrestle and this and that. Well, I've been in the ring with him back before he became big, when he was touring with WWE, he used to come up to the Chaotic School and train, and I'd get in the ring with him and roll around. He's a lot better than people think in the ring. He can go. WWE's got their style of doing certain moves and certain things, and he's the face of that company. He does what he does, does things their way, and obviously whatever he does is working, because he gets a response from the crowd, whether they boo or whether they cheer. He's got one of the loudest reactions when he comes out, and that's a good thing. And obviously, he's made look at how many kids love him, and look how many kids wear his merchandise. So to knock him for doing that kind of job is just absurd. Do I turn on the TV and want to see him wrestle? No, definitely not. But who cares? I mean, it hasn't been about the wrestling in a long, long time, and I think for the role he plays, he's great at it, and his delivery is good, and his selling is good. Can't really knock the guy at all. It wouldn't be right. I mean, you know, if the smart fans want to say, oh, he can't wrestle, and this guy in Ring of Honor is better than him, but they're not. He's making money. He's making millions for himself and the company, so this can't really say anything bad about him.
I think part of it, too, though, is his character. I think a lot of fans are just kind of getting annoyed, and I don't think it's even him. I think it's just the material he's given and the directive he's given as well. So
I agree. Yeah, sure. I agree 100%. Maybe he doesn't want to be the superhero corn guy, but what's he going to do? You know, if it's paying his bills 20 times over, it's probably not a bad thing to.
I'm sure he's not crying about it. So, all right, John, we got to get going because we have a trivia tournament starting tonight. We're going to get those guys on here.
Sounds stimulating. I can't wait. Thanks, I'm not going to play.
No, I know. You'd blow it anyway. The only thing you know would be able to do for us is sing the X Factor theme song, right?
So what theme song?
X Factor. Remember X Pac and Albert? That was your favorite theme back in the day. You don't remember that?
Oh yeah, I think I liked it.
You used to sing it. I like
Barry Windham's theme in WCW. That's my all-time favorite. I don't remember how it went, but
just remember liking it.
It was such an absurd hillbilly song, and I don't remember what it was, but it was great. Every time I once in a while, I'll YouTube it and see what it is. But
let me ask you this: do you miss sitting in computer class and just looking at wrestle crap all day when that was our life?
I kind of miss being younger. Yeah, I like the stage of my life I am now, but you get bills and stuff, and you get older, and responsibilities kind of sucks. I wish I could take things. Well, I wouldn't take things back, but if I could go back in time, I'd have a lot of fun.
You know, I'm very tempted to put your Tough Enough tryout tape up on our website. Is that okay?
No, not yet. I'll let you know when.
Okay, you give me the okay, we'll put it up.
You put your finger on the trigger, and when I say when, you can pull it.
All right, sounds good. All right, bud, thanks for joining us. We'll have you back on a little bit sooner than we did this time. So.
All right, guys.
All right.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks a lot.
Yep, talk to you later.
All right, take it easy. Bye-bye.
There he is, the Hurricane. As Lucha Libre USA starts this Wednesday
yes.
on Hulu. Again, the first four episodes were ones that have already aired. And if you want to go back to our past headline shows, if you want to get a little, I'm not sure what the numbers were, but and kind of get a little background, you can. And then the following 9 weeks will continue. So do you think he misses it based on the way he talks? Do you think he misses the everyday? You know better than I do, so.
No, I don't think so. He's never been someone who's consumed with it. He's a big wrestling fan. He loves wrestling. He loves competing, but he's never consumed with it. He's always been happy doing other jobs on the side and just kind of resting his body and not beating himself into the ground. You know, I think when he was really active, like with Ring of Honor, working all the Eastern Indies back in like the early 2000s, I think that was, I think that wore him down quick. I remember him talking about retiring, 8 years ago. So I think he's just someone who's always kind of been, a little back and forth on how much he really wants to work. But I think he loves it deep down. I do. But I think this is something that's perfect for him. Get a lot of exposure that he rightfully deserves, but also not having to kill himself at it. So,
you know, what's great is I believe, he may not, he probably couldn't tell us, but Money in the Bank Sunday is in Phoenix. So, who's to say that he doesn't run in and cut a heel promo on the fans of Phoenix and become, the top heel in the company?
Something tells me that will not be happening.
So nah, probably not. But
all right, speaking of Money in the Bank, Scott, did you pull up the card?
I do. I did pull up the card.
All right, let's run through our picks quickly, and then we will go ahead and get the trivia tournament going.
Okay, right now there's only four matches lined up at the moment.
Okay.
We'll begin with the World Heavyweight Championship. Your champion, Sheamus, is taking on Alberto Del Rio. There is rumors that at some point he will win the title this year.
Yeah, we heard that last year, too.
Yeah, I know, 500 times. This one will not be it. I think Sheamus keeps it.
I do, too. I think Sheamus is being set up for whoever wins Money in the Bank on that side to probably lose to them. So whether it be Cody or whoever else, we'll get to in a minute. But
okay. The other title match is the WWE Championship, the rematch from Over the Limit, which we are very excited about because that match was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Your champion, CM Punk, taking on Daniel Bryan. But this time in the equation, the hottest crazy chick in the business, AJ, is your guest referee. Now, she may not be at the Shawn Michaels level of guest referee.
We'll find out.
But we'll find out. She might surprise us. Maybe she could. You know what? She could wear the bike shorts and get away with it.
Yes.
So yes. Punk right now to me is on that Cena-ish level of I'm just going to keep picking him until he loses.
No, me too. I wouldn't be surprised if Brian wins with her turning on him, turning on Punk and realigning with Brian. That would not shock me at all. I know they've been close to pulling the trigger a couple times with Brian during this little run here, but I think they want Punk to be champion going into LA. At SummerSlam, so and I wouldn't be shocked if Cena wins Money in the Bank, which we'll talk about momentarily, and then cashes in against Punk at SummerSlam, last year's rematch.
Okay, the Raw Money in the Bank, or I'm sorry, they're calling it the WWE Championship Money in the Bank, right now only has four guys, and at the moment the four guys are on screen right now in the mid match, the mid-show match on Raw right now. And that is John Cena, Kane, The Big Show, and Chris Jericho. I'm assuming they're adding guys.
I don't know. I've heard both ways. They're just doing former champions, and these are the four, and they haven't added anyone else yet. So I'd have to think it would be tonight, if anything. I thought maybe they were going to throw Foley or something, kind of a surprise in there, but nothing yet, so we'll see. I mean, if it's these four as it stands, I'm going to pick Cena. I don't think they'd have him in the match if he wasn't going to win.
I have a surprise. I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Rock is going to be back. They showed it earlier. Rock is going to be back on the 1,000th Raw. You don't think he'll surprise people, come in Sunday, and win Money in the Bank?
I don't. I think it'd be pretty good and pretty shrewd, because then they could have him cash in on Brock eventually. Although, who knows what the hell is going to happen with Brock. He's supposed to be on that show as well. So, I don't know. I mean, it's an intriguing idea. I think it'd be pretty cool. It would be pretty funny if that night, all of a sudden, you know, Rock shows up, Triple H is in the match, Brock is in the, you know, they add all these guys, but I don't think it'll happen. And honestly, I think they'd be stupid to do it unless they announced it ahead of time. We've talked about that before. They're desperate for popping buy rates and making money. I don't see why they'd have Rock be a surprise on the pay-per-view.
Right. Okay. All right. So who do you like?
In the title match or the Money in the Bank?
The Money in the Bank.
Cena. I think Cena's going to win. I think Cena wins, and I think he's not the type to be sneaky about cashing it in, so I think he challenges Punk at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I agree. I think Cena's going to win as well. All right, the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank is a lot more loaded, with a lot more intrigue. It is Christian, Damian Sandow, Tensai, Tyson Kidd, Santino Marella, Cody Rhodes, and Dolph Ziggler. Unique Money in the Bank match here, because there's just a lot of wild cards involved. Question to you, JR, is do they finally pull the trigger for Dolph Ziggler?
They should, and I think he'd be perfect Money in the Bank guy. I've seen some rumors, though, that Cody could be winning. But Cody's been a little sluggish. I don't know. I feel like Dolph is in this weird spot where he's almost past Money in the Bank, because he's already been in a lot of big title feuds, and Cody is kind of a guy who would need it more to elevate him.
Right.
So I'm going to go with Cody, because I think they feel like he needs it more than Dolph does. I think Dolph is believable in the main event picture already. I don't think he needs the briefcase to get him there.
Okay. I'm going with an upset pick here. I'm picking Tensai.
Oh, God. You really?
I think Tensai is going to win it, because I think they need a – I think they want to – because Vince still has his finger on everything here, and I think they want a big, jacked-up dude to face Sheamus power match.
I think you're overthinking it. I think he's dead in the water at this point. I mean, they might try and revive him, but I can't. I think Sandow wins before Tensai, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, that's my upset. It probably won't happen, but you never know with these shows. So I'm gonna take Tensai. I think he's gonna shock everybody and win.
All right. So there are your Money in the Bank predictions. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break just for a moment here. And when we return, Scotty C, the long-awaited WCW-esque, mayhem-esque trivia tournament.
I'd like to think we're more organized than that.
Many have thought would never come and never happen. Well, I don't know, because if you look at it, I mean, the brackets keep changing. Matches keep getting rebooked, and we keep talking about it. It hasn't happened yet, but it is happening tonight. We have the first matchup, and it's coming up immediately after this word from our sponsors.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Yes, WrestleChat.net, indeed, your home for everything pro wrestling. All the news and notes you need from WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor. They have a great message board. Check out their podcast, The Champ, Jeff Beck, and his announcer. And of course, while you're perusing the site, you look to the right, you see the PTB Gnome, proudly worn by Jordan Duncan. Click on it, and you'll go to our full archive, courtesy of our good friends at Podbean. That is WrestleChat.net, indeed where it's at. Also, don't forget the history of WWE.com, our friend Grant Cawthon. Outstanding research site, ring results, DVD reviews, everything you need is there. Also, check out our show on Stitcher.com. If you have iPhone, Android, any kind of phone or any kind of player, tablet, go to it. You can listen to our shows anytime. And then, of course, also on iTunes.
And, of course, check out our message board, Bigelow34.proboards.com. We're always talking wrestling, sports, anything you want. Check out JR's and my reviews. We talk Raw, SmackDown, all sorts of stuff. And don't forget to help out our friend Jay Womack. Still dealing with a lot of physical issues with his leg and a touch of skin cancer, but he's a fighter, and he's a great fan of the show. And if you want to help him, check the link on our board, Bigelow34.proboards.com, and you can help him out. He's a great guy.
Hey, Place to Be Nation, this is Gary Michael Capetta, and this is the Place to Be Podcast with Scott Riscola and Justin Rosero.
You'd really be a fool to think you killed about someone else. You're not really much a deep end action in the ring. Cause broken bones on a concrete floor are really more his thing. He's not on the team or a member of a gang. He's Cactus Jack, or better known as Mr. Bang Bang.
All right, PTB Nation, that song only means one thing. It is time to finally kick off the PTB Trivia Tournament. Scotty C is by my side, the Ed McMahon to my, I don't know, Jimmy Kimmel?
No, Johnny, jeez. It might be that. I thought you were going to say...
Well, you're old, I'm young. That was kind of the thing I was going for.
I thought it was like my Tony Atlas to your Abraham Washington.
So you're not,
go,
you're not, you're not funny, I am. That's kind of what I was aiming for.
Jesus.
All right. Okay. So we're going to get things started. We have our first three contestants. The matchups, like we said, have gotten a little screwed up because we're trying to... The first round, basically, what we did was we made random draws. We couldn't get everyone hooked up at the same time, so we've kind of rearranged a little bit. For round two, the eight winners are going to go back into a pool, randomly draw those matchups, and from there, the brackets will be set. Those will be the eight matchups going forward.
Yep.
Here are the rules. We're going to... give you just the first person to three questions correct. The first two in this round will be easy. The third one will be medium. It's baseball rules. We've drawn the order of the contestants randomly as well. So the last person to go will always get a chance to match the people ahead of him. So the first person to three, without the other people reaching three behind him, will win. For the easy questions, you have 10 seconds to answer. Medium, you have 15 seconds. Hard, when we get there, will be 20 seconds. If we hear any typing or if your phone goes mute during that time, it's an automatic disqualification. So we trust everyone. We know everyone gets along. We're not dealing with strangers here, so we don't expect anyone to cheat. And that wouldn't be fun anyway. Let's see how much you really know. Let's do this on the up and up. Let's do it legitimately. Each question is only used one time. If the person gets it or doesn't, we'll give the answer, and the question will not be used again in this tournament. So that'll prevent other people from being able to look it up before they come on the air. Also, so there's no accusations that we're giving easier questions to other people, every person will be providing Scott a number, and that number corresponds to a question. That question will be the one they receive. So you're basically choosing your own question. Scott, I think I got everything right. Did I miss anything?
No, you did not miss anything at all. Why don't we introduce our first trio of the tournament?
Okay, first up, we have the man known on the Place to Be message board is Ravishly Perfect, the proprietor of the Territory Wars, Derek Cornett.
Hey-o.
Derek, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited for this. I've been studying with Sugar Tits LaRue for months and months. I feel like Mean Gene and Hulk Hogan, except for Mean Gene's better looking than LaRue.
I think everyone's better looking than LaRue.
Well, that's true. So,
all right. Also joining us, of course, is the man behind the DVD collection that we all love, and that is Jay Womack. Jay, how you doing?
Hanging in there.
Always are, Jay. Always are. True inspiration. Of course, Jay was with us a few weeks ago on the show, and we all heard his story, and he continues to battle. True inspiration. Now, Jay, if you win, one of the prizes is DVDs from you. So what the hell are we going to do? We'll have to figure something out.
Well, I've got to deal with a woman in Florida, so I'll just pick some from her.
Okay, that sounds good. And also joining us is one of the PTB's biggest fans, and that is James Grunberg. James, how you doing?
How you doing, gentlemen? I'm doing pretty good.
All right, awesome. Good to hear. Now, you guys all fired up? You ready to go?
Yep.
All right.
Okay. Yes. All right. All right, here we go. We did the random draw. So, Mr. Cornett, you are going first. You are going first, okay? So what will happen is you will get a question. If you get it right, you get a point. If you get it wrong, you get nothing, and you wait until your turn comes around again, and then we move on to the next person. Okay, Mr. Cornett, give me a number between 1 and 318.
300? Oh, of course, 69. Let's be serious.
Mike, can you just go upstairs?
Okay. We got our little Val Venus guy here. Okay. Okay. Here's your question. Who did Daniel Pewter defeat in the finals to win Tough Enough in 2004?
Miz.
Hey, I may have
You are correct. Hello. You are correct.
Are correct. The answer, of course, Mike Mizanin. We will, of course, take Miz. So there you go. So, Mr. Cornette, you get a point. All right. 1 point for Mr. Cornette.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Womette, you are up next.
All right.
All right. Pick a number between 1 and 318.
13.
13. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
You have 10 seconds. Which which 90210 star was the guest timekeeper at WrestleMania 10? You have 10 seconds.
Jenny Garth.
I may have picked the winner.
Correct.
Jenny Garth is the correct answer.
Very good. Very proud. This 90210 fan is very proud of you, Mr. Womette.
Yes, we are both very proud of you. All right, Mr. Groomberg.
Yes, sir.
Let's keep it up.
Okay.
Pick a number between 1 and 318.
11.
Number 11. Okay. What Broadway musical's famous theme song did Steve Austin use as his entrance theme in ECW? You have 10 seconds.
Pass.
I need an answer. Do you have any answer?
No, I do not.
The answer, of course. Hey, you know, can you let me do anything over here, Scott? Jesus.
Well, just play the audio.
The fucking show.
Jesus.
And that was, of course, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Okay, so after one round, good question. It is. Derek Cornette 1, Jay Womette 1, James Groomberg 0.
Mr. James, Cornette, still plenty of time to make up ground, though. Do not get discouraged.
Yes, plenty of questions here. Mr. Cornette, another number.
Wait, it's not the same? 11 was just chosen. 114.
114, okay. The highest rated Raw ever had a 6-man tag team match in the main event. Name 3 of the 6 participants. You have 10 seconds.
Triple H, Steve Austin, The Rock. I don't know.
Hey, I may have the winner!
Wow.
I think that was right.
You are.
I hope
yes,
so.
You are correct. Okay. Yes, you are correct. It was May 10th, 1999. The overrun did almost an 8. It was
nice.
Triple H, Vince, and Shane.
Yep. Versus.
I'm sorry. No. Triple H, Taker, and Shane against Austin, Rock, and Vince.
Okay. I thought the This Is Your Life was the highest segment.
That's the highest segment. Shane, Taker, and Triple H one was the second one.
Okay.
Yes, but this was the highest rated Raw show ever.
Raw.
This Is Your Life was not the show, right?
Right.
Okay. Yep. Just checking.
Yep.
God, you got it right. Chill out, will you?
I know. Mr. Womette, pick it up.
Yes. 24.
24. Okay, let's see. Okay. There have been 3 episodes of The Brother Love Show aired on pay-per-view. Name 1 of his guests.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Jeez. I may have picked the winner.
Of course, the options were... You all right over there?
Picked that one, Mr. Womette, you're losing all of your points. Yeah.
No. There's also Sergeant Slaughter back at SummerSlam 90.
Yep.
And I believe Sherry and...
Sapphire,
yes.
Sweet Sapphire was on the Brother Love show. Very good, very good. Womette's is schooling everyone here. Let's go.
Yes, all right, so it is 2-2, and Mr. Groomberg needs to get on the board. Sir, pick a number.
I'm going to go with number 32.
32, okay. Which wrestling legend managed the Powers of Pain upon their arrival to the World Wrestling Federation in 1988? You have 10 seconds.
Classy Freddie Blassie.
Oh, that is incorrect. Sir, the answer?
The Baron. Baron von Raschke.
Wait, are we not counting Tito Santana?
We are not counting Tito Santana.
No, you're not counting Tito Santana.
So if I would have answered that would have been wrong, even though we just prove that?
Yeah, he's not a wrestling legend, and he didn't really manage them. He was just kind of he just kind of brought them to the ring at house shows.
Okay, just checking.
Okay, all right.
You really did train with LaRue, didn't you?
Yeah, we're all got to trust.
Minute details.
Okay, all right. Right now the score is Mr. Cornette has 2, J.O. has 2, James Grunberg has 0. Now
James.
Cornette,
gentlemen.
Well,
if you get this question right, Mr. Cornette, you will be in at best, at worst, a tie.
Right.
So you at worst have a tie here. So
and James, you have, before he does, James, you have a chance to run the table at the end as well. So if these guys both hit 3 this time around, you will have a chance to get 3 straight to tie them. So you're not out. And Scott, we are now moving on to medium for Derek and Wimette, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Okay, so Mr. Cornette.
Quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If I miss it and Jay gets it, then Jay wins because I had an opportunity to get to 3 and he got to 3.
Correct.
That is correct.
And and James will still have a chance to go. But you would be eliminated.
All right.
Okay. Mr. Cornette, pick a number between 1 and 322.
316.
316. Which tag team lost to The Undertaker and Kane, unifying the tag team titles inside a steel cage at SummerSlam 2001? You have 10 seconds.
15.
15
Chronic.
Seconds.
Did you guys hear me?
No? May I answer it?
It is Diamond Dallas Page.
Oh, and
Kane.
Canyon.
Okay. All right, let me set my timer up again.
All right, so Wimette, if you get this right, you eliminate Derek Cornette.
All right.
Okay. J.O., pick a number between 1 and 322.
313.
313. Okay. Which one of these legends was not inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2004 when the concept was resurrected for the first time since 1996? This is multiple choice, so wait for your answers. A, Jesse Ventura. B, Bobby Heenan. C, Gene Okerlund. D, Pete Rose. You have 15 seconds.
Pete Rose, D.
Incorrect. It is Mean Gene Okerlund did not go in 2004. He went in the next year in 2005.
Actually, did he go in 2006?
No, it was the year with Hogan. Didn't he go with Hogan?
Yeah, he went in with Hogan. And, yeah.
Nah, I don't think so.
He did go in 2006 because Hogan inducted him.
Oh, you're right. Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. He did not go in 2004.
He did not go in 2004.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are still... Mr. Grunberg, you are still in the hunt.
Yes.
You're still in the easy questions. So pick a number between 1 and 318.
I'm going to go with 22, please.
22, okay? Which of Eddie Guerrero's uncles was the gobbledygooker? You have 10 seconds.
Mondo?
Leaving Sacramento. Oh, that's going to be an incorrect one. I hit the wrong clip, but incorrect. It was
Hector
Guerrero, yes.
It was Hector. Okay, Mr. Cornette, you survived yourself, sir.
Yes, I did.
Spared. All right, back to the medium questions. Another number.
We'll go with number 1.
Top of the list. This city had both Ric Flair's WWF pay-per-view debut and Austin's rundown by a Lincoln Continental. You have 15 seconds.
It's WWE. Let's go with Charlotte.
Detroit to Michigan.
Yep.
Both events occurred at Joe Louis Arena.
Derek told me he was a little leery of the locations questions. He was already
shaking. I am.
Okay. J.O.
Yes.
You're up. Pick a number.
Another chance to eliminate Derek Cornette.
I'll do 125.
125. Okay. Which civil rights association gave a gravy boat as a gift to Billy and Chuck to celebrate their upcoming nuptials on SmackDown in the fall of 2002? You have 15 seconds.
I want to say it's like the gay, straight, bi, lesbian organization of America.
I keep forgetting to reset the clip. I Jay, you were close, but we can't give it to you. It's GLAAD is the name of the association. I don't think that's what it stands for, but
Jay,
it was
Jay, the one that you're talking about is the GLBTAQ.
Okay.
Gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual, questioning.
Thank you much.
Okay.
Close, though, J.O.
Close. All right, Mr. Groomberg, still hanging around. Pick a number.
Let's go with 28.
28, okay. Name the one wrestler to compete at both WrestleManias 1 and 10. You have 10 seconds. We need an answer.
Rowdy Piper? No.
It was the immortal girlfriend of Sugar Tits, Derek LaRue, Leilani Kai.
Oh, yeah, Leilani Kai.
You were close, though. Piper was at WrestleMania 10.
Yes.
Yeah, Piper did not wrestle.
Okay, Cornette, you're hanging by a thread here.
I know. Gosh,
trying to seal the deal here. You're like Armando Benitez in the 2000s for the Mets, for God's sakes. All right, pick a number.
Let's go with number 5.
Number 5, okay. Who were the announcers of the ill-fated Booker T. Buff Bagwell match on Raw in May of 2001?
Arn Anderson, seconds. Scott Hudson.
Hey, I may have a winner!
Correct. Back from the dead, Derek Cornette.
Yes.
All right, okay. First man to 3. So that means Jay Womet needs to get this right to stay alive and go to the tiebreaker round.
Yes.
Okay, J.O., pick a number.
10.
For 10. What city's hotels did both Brian Pillman and Eddie Guerrero pass away in 8 years apart? You have 15 seconds. Mm-hmm.
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hey, I may have a winner!
Wow, ballsy. Clutch. Right? That was ballsy.
Clutch. Okay. All right, Mr. Groomberg.
Yes, sir.
Your back is against the wall. You have to get 3 straight questions to survive here.
All right.
Two easies and a medium.
Two easies and a medium. Easies first, so don't worry about it. Pick a number.
Let's go with number 9.
Number nine. Who was the referee for the first ever WWE Championship match on SmackDown?
Shawn Michaels.
Hey, I may have a winner.
Look at that.
All right.
Excellent. Good start. Good start on the comeback. Okay. Yep. You get another easy question. Pick a number.
Number 21.
21. That question was already picked.
Okay, let's go with number 36.
36, okay. Which WWF wrestler assaulted TV personality John Stossel in December of 1984? Mm-hmm. You have 10 seconds.
Rowdy Piper?
Dr. D. Shut up!
Incorrect. It was Dr. D. David Schultz. James, you had some tough some tough draws in that. I will say that.
Right.
You gave it a go though. If you want to hang on and listen to the finale here, or you can drop your choice.
Hang around. We got one right, so you know some stuff. You know a lot of other stuff. You live and you learn.
There you go. You didn't get shut out. That's all that matters. So now we have Derek versus J.O. in the tiebreaker scenario. Same thing. Baseball rules. Home and away. We're gonna give you basically the next two. Will be medium. And if you guys are still tied after those two, we're going to go on to the hard questions for the tiebreaker.
All right. Mr. Cornette, you are up. Yep. Pick a number.
Is it between what and what?
Between 1 and 322.
It's actually between 2 and 322. Let's do 222.
Number 222. Okay. Okay. Which legendary metal band contributed a cover of Enter Sandman for the ECW Extreme Music album released in 1998.
Motorhead.
15 seconds.
I can't believe the whole thing!
Correct. It was Motorhead.
I had that album.
Yes, it was a great album.
It was a great album, actually. Okay.
All right, J.O., you need this to stay alive.
Yep.
This is it. Bottom of the ninth inning. Pick a number.
33.
Let's see. Has that been used? It has not. How much weight did Dino Bravo allegedly bench press to break the world record at the 1988 Royal Rumble? You have 15 seconds.
Over 785 pounds.
It was 715 pounds. Oh, so close, Jay Womat. So close. We also would have accepted Derek LaRue, but unfortunately, neither answer was provided. So, that was a battle, guys. That was
a battle.
Derek Cornett,
great job, guys.
Advances, comes back from the brink to survive.
Hey, Jay, if you need something to add to your collection, hit me up on the PM. I may have something for you.
Definitely, I will. I'm always looking to add more and stuff, and I'm getting more stuff coming in this week, so.
All right, fellas, if you could please just do us a favor and do not mention the results of this tournament until the episode has been posted and kind of commented on so we can not spoil anything for the people tuning in to listen. So let's go radio silence on the Facebook page regarding this.
Sounds great, man.
All right, guys, I want to thank you all for joining us. Thank you for competing. Mr. Cornett, you will be back. We'll talk to you and set things up. Probably not for another few weeks till we get all the matchups out of the way.
JR, so. We have a big update here.
We do.
Added to the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank, Sin Cara.
Wow. He's never been world champion.
Yeah, but that's the other one. That's the other match.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. He's in the other one. All right. I got you.
Yeah. So Sin Cara has been added to the match with Sandow and Tensai and those guys.
Okay.
Nice.
He just defeated Heath Slater in a qualifying match.
So. The Raw one stinks. I'm not looking forward to the Raw one.
They're going to be adding someone else, I'm thinking, right?
They have to.
They have to add at least two. I mean, Miz and Rey Mysterio, both are former WWE champions. Why don't they just add those two guys in quickly? And
I keep thinking Mick Foley's going to get added, but I don't see it happening now.
I don't know.
On the Bleacher Report, they talked about building up as only four people. It's a pretty good write-up.
It's interesting. I guess maybe since they're going to have eight and one, maybe four and the other or something like that. But
I don't know. I just – the Raw one just doesn't seem like it's going to be a good one this year.
No,
what if Sandow wins?
We were just talking about that. I think I think there's a shot. Like, it wouldn't totally shock me if he did.
Well, if, with Aries winning, they're going to pull the trigger. I can feel it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Oh, here's your boy, Mr.
Bob
Backlund.
Mr. Bob Backlund.
There right. he is.
Well, we definitely need to wrap this up because I need to hear Mr. Backlund. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for
thank you.
Coming on. We will be in touch. I'm going to disconnect each one of you so we can wrap the show up. Thank you, as always, for being PTB Nation members and for competing.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thanks, guys. All right. So.
All right, Scott, you with me?
Yes, okay. I am.
I think everyone else is gone. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We want to thank John Walters for coming on. Thank Derek, James, and Jay for competing in the trivia tournament. Scott, we got a big week ahead of us. We'll be back Wednesday night. We will have our review, our summer throwback of the Monday Night Raw from November 4th, 1996. Of course, the infamous Brian Pillman-Steve Austin gun showdown for the Pillman household in Walton, Kentucky. And joining us live that night, live to tape anyway, Kevin Kelly, who was inside the Pillman house.
Yes.
He was part of the creative team, part of the announced team. Had a lot going on in 1996, Kevin Kelly, and he's going to join us to talk about that incident. So we will have that interview for you Wednesday night. Also, we'll have match two of the trivia tournament on Wednesday. Thursday, Jason Greenhouse joins us to review Survivor Series 96, and we'll have our third. You all right over there?
I'm sorry. I just think Backlund in the ring right now.
It's tremendous. All right, let me finish wrapping so we can go. So we're going to have our third trivia match on Thursday night as well. So stay tuned. We've got an action-packed week, possibly the biggest week ever of the history of the Place to Be podcast. So for Scott, for John Walters, for Jay, Derek, and James, I am Justin Rosero. Take care. We will talk to you Wednesday night.
Peace.
Young man. Pocket, a foot without a sock. Your body gets much closer.